eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think Brian's really just so depressed and dejected from all these blown leads that he's like, guys, I'm going to need another couple days.
Yes. Yes. Brian tends to be the negative one, except for it's been Scott recently. I feel like you've turned. It's like when you have a friend, it's like that episode of The Office where Michael starts like Pam was freaking out, but then she has to be calm because Michael starts freaking out. It's like one person has to get their shit together to calm the other one down.
You know what's weird? Like the dynamic, it changes because on here, Brian is going to be like the more pessimistic one, and we have to reel him back in sometimes. But then I feel like on Sunday Skate, it's like it's not going to be you. It's not going to be Razor. So it's like I'm free to just like let that side take over on Sunday morning.
His bad boy. He's ready to let his bad boy out.
Well, and like especially like Sunday morning, it's like 11 hours after they blow that game in Vancouver. And it's like, you know, it's not, I'm still feeling it, you know, like there's no recovery time.
And you know what? I have a feeling this podcast could go like that too, because you haven't had a lot of time to recover from that game last night in Seattle that ended at 1 a.m. again. Of course, every game that starts at 10 p.m. got to go overtime, shootout. Can't go to bed.
Yeah, that's just every Bruins game period now.
They're all going to go to overtime. Spoiler alert. If you recorded it and then you woke up in the morning, first of all, good for you. You didn't stay up till 1 a.m. Second of all, it was a very long recording. And I'm sorry if you got to the ending and were disappointed by the results, which we will get into. So we actually disagree about, like, though we agree that this road trip has been like very frustrating in a lot of ways. And we agree on certain things that have gone wrong and that need to get fixed. We also disagree a lot about a few things from last night's game in Seattle. So, or at least in a nuanced way. So I'll start with my opening shift and then we can debate it after, because Scott already tried to debate me on it before we even started recording. So what I was saying to him was like my main takeaway, like when I think back on the game against Seattle, there were a few different times where it was like, okay, this is it. Like, here they are, they're back. And then it was no. It was like, okay, strong first period, great. Okay, second period, good. Like, they have a lead. And then all of a sudden, it's the same old crap. You know, it's the same, you know what, different day. And then, like, okay, Pasternak scores a hat trick and you're back like, great. Here we go again. This could be it. And then it was an emotional roller coaster for people who haven't given up yet, right? So I sit there and I watch the games now for like, is this the moment that things get back on track? And it could be anything from like like something emotional, like that Morgan Geeky goal that got called back. I think it was a stupid call, but I also really felt like it could have been a boost emotionally for the Bruins because it meant something to him. And the little girl that was there that he helped with her help get her a bone marrow transplant. And like, there was a really nice story about how, you know, him and his connection, obviously he played in Seattle, but his connection to that little girl that had cancer, and you could just see on his face that that goal meant more to him than any other time. Like, never seen him that emotional after a goal. And it could have been a significant moment, maybe boost the energy, give some emotion to the team, and then it gets called back. And so you're like, oh, that's great. And you're cheering or whatever if you're a Bruins fan. And then you're right back down to, I went from being like, that's a great moment because they showed the little girl super excited. I was like, this is a great moment. And then I went from that to screaming at my TV. So, and it was very late and I was very grumpy already. So that's all to say, it was a roller coaster in the same way most of the games have been since the road trip started. And just when you think there's going to be this moment that things can get back on track and you can build off of, it just goes the other way again.
See, that's why you should just give up hope like I have.
This is the problem, Mr. Sassy again.
Now, yeah, I mean, we'll get into it more, but like, at second intermission, they're playing well. They're up 2-1. And there was no doubt in my mind that they were going to blow that. That at the very least, that it was going to end up tied at some point in the third period. And then, you know, see what happens from there. Like, maybe they still find a way to win in regulation, although they haven't done that recently. They've now gone 9 games without winning in regulation. So, you know, that's not good. But yeah, we'll get into my feelings on the game and on all these blown leads. But my opening shift is building off something that I said on Sunday Skate, which is I feel like this team needs a real shakeup if they're going to be a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. No matter what their record is, no matter what seeding they finish with, I just have a hard time seeing this team make a deep run as is. I do have a little bit of an addendum to that, which is that I also wouldn't blame Don Sweeney if he decides that there's just not a good way to shake things up and that it's better to just stand pat and retool in the summer, because that would be boring to me. Like, that's not what I want. You know, shakeups are more exciting to talk about and write about. And I think it would make this team more of a cup contender. But
yeah, that's the whole point, Scott.
Yeah, but like, I also acknowledge that for Don Sweeney to do anything is going to be very difficult. Like, we've gone over it and we'll talk about it again before the March 8th trade deadline, but they have very few assets, no cap space. So it's not going to be easy. And if Sweeney doesn't think there's like enough, if there's like a big enough move out there for him to make that turns him into a cup contender, then don't just like make moves around the, like, don't give up assets for a rental or a depth player, something that makes, you know, a marginal difference. Either go big and like try to make this team a better looking cup team on the fly, or say, you know, I've done what I can. You know, we're in cap hell. We still are. Let's, you know, get back at it in the summer.
Okay, well, you are so hot and cold this week. I don't even know, like, who is this Scott? Like, I could show up to work tomorrow and you could be like, actually, they should just add a fourth liner.
No, I think I'm out with that. I think it either needs to be go big or...
Yeah, but
just stand pat and save up all your assets for the summer.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Which one?
They're not just going to stand pat. It's just not how that's going to go.
I think you're right, because I think Sweeney will feel the need to show some level of investment. Like, if nothing else, then to the room. Like, yes. Show the guys that you believe in them. But I wonder if, like, secretly he maybe doesn't believe in them. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if part of him feels the same way I do, which is, like, this team is at least one big move away. And if you can't make that big move, like, what are you really doing? Like, are you giving up a second round pick for a fourth liner? Like, what does that really accomplish?
it's not that you can't make a big move. It's that you have it's what it's going to take, right? Like, it's going to take trading Ullmark or DeBrusk. Yeah. Like, it's going to take that. So it's not that it can't happen. It's that you have to convince yourself that you're comfortable with parting ways with someone that you weren't originally thinking you would have to if the team didn't look like it needed such a big shakeup. So it's, I personally side on, like, based on history and the way that Don Sweeney operates at the trade deadline, that he is more likely to go do something that surprises people and trade someone off the active roster, or, you know, make a bigger move than people are expecting and that maybe we haven't even thought of, you know, all the stuff that goes on behind closed doors. But I think that's more likely than him just doing nothing, like, or just like trading a fourth liner for, you know, or trading for a fourth liner for a mid round or late round draft pick, or swapping guys that are bottom six or, you know, fourth liners or whatever. I think that they're more likely to do something big than they are to do nothing at all, because that's just not, I don't think that's how Don Sweeney works. I don't think Don Sweeney counts them out for the whole season that they're not going to be able to make a deep playoff run. They were in first place, Scott. Do you remember
that? They still are.
That's what I'm talking about.
They still have the best record in the Eastern Conference.
So you're like not a cup contender. Like, I know you and your freaking analytics. What are you going to hit me with now? With some deep stats of the Corsi percentage, whatever.
Okay, here's one. Here's a fun one. Of the 16 teams currently in the playoffs, they rank 15th in high danger chances allowed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is that supposed to change my mind?
Well, it says that 14 of the 16 playoff teams are better than them at not giving up high danger chances. Here's another one. When this ties into the blown leads, playing with the lead this year, they ranked 22nd in the NHL in Corsi when they're playing with the lead. Of the 16 playoff teams, they ranked 14th. We can go through all the blown lead stats. They have the worst record among playoff teams when leading after two periods. They're now, what, 9 losses when leading after two periods, most in the NHL. Like, all this stuff, I just think is too much to overcome. Like, it's not even like they're playing good hockey and just having bad luck. Like, they legitimately just play like crap when they have the lead in the third period. It's legitimately bad hockey.
You do not think it's fixable at all. Like, you've gone to the point where this is just not fixable for you.
How many? We're what? 4 months into the season? And
I haven't seen this every month.
I haven't seen any improvement. Like, every time it looked like they were maybe turning a corner, they take a step back. So, you know, now we're less than 2 weeks from the trade deadline, really just a little over a week. Like, I don't know. How long am I supposed to wait for them to turn it around and figure it out?
Everybody knows there's ebbs and flows to a season, and there are obstacles that you have to get over. And it's not the same team last year that didn't have any obstacles, really. This is just what happens. Like, it's not
happening to the other top teams in the league. The other top teams in the league are closing out games.
Yes, but they're still finding a way to stay in first place. Like,
because these games that go to overtime, they still get a point. Which, by the way, completely separate. But the NHL needs to go to a 3-point system. Like, the loser point is so stupid. You get 3 points for a regulation win, 2 for an overtime or shootout win, 1 for overtime or shootout loss, 0 regulation loss. Like,
yeah, that's college. That's what they do in college. So
yeah, because like, so we look at this road trip, and I even heard like some of the Bruins players saying after the game, like, well, we got 5 of 8 points. And it's like, does that feel like a 5 out of 8 road trip? Like, do you look at that road trip where they go 1-0-3 and think, yeah, that was better than 50%? No, like, so if you had the 3-point system, it would be 5 out of 12, which sounds more like how that
what road they trip deserve.
Happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, to your point, I'll give you this one, because if we're talking about like what happens in the playoffs, if they go to overtime, and if this road trip was like the results of a playoff series, so starting with the 4 games with the Oilers, so they win game one, they go to overtime, lose game two, go to overtime, lose game three, go to overtime, lose game four. So they're at this point, they would be in a hole where they would be down 3-1 in a playoff series. If it was playoff rules, right? Like, overtime losses don't get you shit in the playoffs. So, I mean, you don't get a point for that. So,
I have something else I want to get off my chest on that too. So I've heard this now like multiple times about, you know, cause the Bruins obviously pretty clearly suck at 3-on-3, or have for most of the season. And it's like, well, good thing that you don't have to play 3-on-3 overtime in the playoffs. And it's like, yeah, but like, is it supposed to be comforting that, okay, oh, well, if you blow a third period lead in the playoffs and go to overtime, at least it's 5-on-5. And I'm like, I don't know. Have you watched playoff hockey? Because it's still a crapshoot. Like, it's still a 50-50 proposition. It still just takes one play, one bounce, one mistake. So like, the whole idea is you got to close these games out in regulation, and whether overtime's 3-on-3 or 5-on-5, like, that remains true. The bigger problem, like, yeah, I don't care that they stink at 3-on-3, like, whatever. The bigger problem is that they keep ending up there because they keep blowing these leads.
Yeah. And to that point, if you can't hold a lead, I guess there is a difference between 6-on-5 and 5-on-5. Like, they're struggling when the extra attacker's on the ice. And obviously that wasn't the case last game, but we've seen it crop up, and we talked about it on Sunday Skate with Razor. But like, 5-on-5, they're not holding leads. Like, they're giving up goals in the late stages. And yeah. And by the way, you're not going to overtime most games that you play like they did against Seattle in the third period, because you're not getting a hat trick from David Pastrnak every game. Well, or at least we thought it was a hat trick from David Pastrnak. But that's a separate story. But like, you're not always going to get a 3-goal performance from your, or a 2-goal performance from your best player. That's just not going to happen for you every game. Like, sometimes you rely too much on that and goaltending to bail you out. And that is where I do think there's a problem. Like, I'm not saying that this road trip has shown me like positive signs, really. I'm just saying, I think it's too soon to just completely jump off the boat like Scott is. Have fun in the ocean, Scott. Like, I'll throw you a life raft if you want to come back at some point, but I'm not ready to be like, oh yeah, nope, done, season's over. Like, you remind me of some radio personalities that I usually argue with in the hallways. I don't agree with.
I understand anything can happen in the playoffs, and there's been plenty of teams that aren't playing great when the playoffs start and end up making deep runs. And like, the 2011 Bruins had, like, they slumped pretty close to the end of the regular season. Like, they had a bit of a dip, like, I want to say late March, maybe even into early April. And then even fall behind 2-0 to the Canadians in the first round, and then wake up and start going. So I get that it can happen. So I don't totally rule that out. It just doesn't seem especially like I just can't ignore this big flashing sign every time they blow a lead and be like, oh no, that'll be fine. Like, don't worry about that, guys. Like, I'm sure they'll figure it out. And it's like, no, you know, at some point it's like, you gotta look at the sign and be like, I don't know, maybe I should actually pay attention to that, because it's not stopping.
You want to know what I like about Sunday Skate? It's like me and Razor versus you most of the time. So like, I feel like we get to, we we get to stick together and he's not here right now, but I know he would be saying, what the hell, Scott? Give it up already. He's, because by the way, his tone was that he was not worried, right? It was like, pump the brakes on this hysteria over, you know, losing a few overtime games, shootout games on the road trip. He's the opposite of you. He also obviously comes from a completely different background, where,
well, he's Canadian. He's just too nice.
But even
with that though, like, even Razor acknowledged there is, you know, a lot to fix here, and like, we can,
nobody said there wasn't anything to fix. The question is it fixable before the playoffs and for the playoffs? That's the difference.
Yeah, and to me, like, without some sort of shakeup to the roster, it feels like a lot. It feels like a lot that has to get fixed. Like, I think that they play way too passive when they have the lead. They end up trapped in their own zone at, you know, third period last night. Like, you think, you know, you're playing well, you have the lead, final game of the road trip, like, come out, leave it all on the line. Seattle gets the first 9 shots on goal of the third period. Like, it just can't happen. They can't get out of their own zone.
Yeah.
Leaving guys uncovered in front of the net remains a problem. Like, the Oliver Bjorkstrand goal that made it 3-2 Seattle, he just finds a soft spot between Grizzlick and Carlo and gets the tip. And it's like, that's happened too much.
And there was another, that the game tying goal. So third period starts. Bruins get outshot 9-0. One of those shots goes in the back of the net. Geeky loses a faceoff and Dunn scored to tie it 2-2. So we're following this theme of faceoff losses that within the next 30 seconds end up.
I think it was actually Frederick that lost that faceoff.
Oh, was it Frederick? Yeah. Well, it's another faceoff loss. And it's been different people at different times. It was Zaka. It was, you know, the only one it seems to not happen to too much is Charlie Coyle, but it's still, you know, it's these face-off losses that in the D zone that are turning into, and it's a lot of point shots that are finding it their way through, whether redirected or noticed that as a theme recently as well. But they're missing a forward. Like, do you at least, you might not agree, but I fall back in the camp of forward is the place to target if you're going to do something big. Like, if we're talking about a real big move that's going to save it, like,
I still lean towards left shot defenseman as more of a need, but
think about what's been killing them. In this is kind of the point of like,
this is kind of the point of like needing a lot though, because yeah, I do think they need another score. Like, one of the problems here, and you mentioned them being too reliant on Pasternak, too many guys have gone quiet. Too many of their forwards have gone like way too quiet right now. Like, I had the numbers, but Brad Marchand, 1 goal in the last 9 games. Pavel Zaka, none in the last 9. Jake DeBrusk, 1 in the last 13. Trent Frederick, 2 in the last 12. Morgan Geeky, 2 in the last 22. Danton Heinen, 1 in the last 9. James Van Riemsdyk, 0 points in the last 5 games. Like, the fourth line, the call-ups, I think they continue to be fine. Your Boqvist, Richard, Brazo, no issue with the way those guys are playing. Pasternak's still, you know, doing his thing, carrying the load. Coyle has 3 goals in the last 3 games. Like, he's fine. I have no issue with him right now. But the rest of that group, like, that's 7 forwards in your top 9 that are just too quiet right now. And it's like, if even a couple of them are going, then maybe you extend some of these leads and we're not talking about it coming down to the wire and getting to overtime.
Man, DeBrusk had a breakaway you should have scored on. Mm-hmm. That one was rough. And that's another moment where you're like, so like, as a broadcaster, I also see the game, like, I have to see it emotionally, right? Because I'm supposed to bring emotion to a broadcast. So I'm supposed to, like, when I see Jake DeBrusk going a clear breakaway, my mind is going, like, this is an elevated situation where this could lead to a goal. This could lead to, like, something exciting. And then it's another dud. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, I have to watch it a certain way. where my emotions follow the action, and it's for both teams. Just as a mental exercise that I do in order to, you know, be a better broadcaster. So then you have that, and then it drops, right? And unfortunately for the Bruins, it's not been, you know, extending those or finishing those chances where you would get heightened, and then you would expect a payoff, and then there's no payoff.